you, Utah Phillips, the golden voice of the great Southwest, and you are once again listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind.
Going to catch an old freight train out of Seattle, Washington, and we're going to ride her all the way to New York City.
Once again, Utah Phillips here, and I went along with Steve Baker, who's doing the engineering. That was the Borsdorfs, as usual. They live up there in Chico, California. They deserve to get out of that town and be around and about playing a good deal more. And that right there at the beginning that I played for you was a little bit of a very, very old recording of Woody Guthrie himself playing the guitar and the harmonica, talking about a train, freight train from Seattle to New York City. That's pretty much what we're going to be doing today, is I'm going to reaching into a grab bag of traveling songs and seeing what I can fetch out of there. I am here in Nevada City. We had a visitor this week by the name of Michael Moore. You may have heard of him, the movie Roger and Me. Michael Moore, how would you describe him? He sticks it in your face is what he does. A model of direct action, you know, direct action gets the goods. He was here to hassle, hang up, and otherwise outrage the public defender's office. And he did a good job of it. Great guerrilla theater all over town. The talk on the street, though, was we don't need outside agitators to tell us how to run our town. And I had to remind them that without outside agitators, we could damn well still have slavery and a lot of other unpleasant things. Meanwhile, our station here, the one I'm sitting in right now, KVMR, one of its proudest moments was that it covered all of that. It, as usual, we broadcast things that nobody else wanted to talk about, and Michael Moore was in the studio talking about it. Well, now, I'm back onto the track here. The grab bag of traveling songs, Woody Guthrie. I'm gonna play you Hard Traveling, the original recording of Hard Traveling by Woody Guthrie, sung by him and his buddy Cisco Houston. He shipped out Merchant Marine with Cisco Houston and boomed all over the country with him. Before Hard Traveling, I've been rereading Woody's great book, Bound for Glory, that really ought to be much more widely known. Problem was, it was published during the middle of the Second World War and got a very limited circulation. Woody wrote, "I sat down with my back against the wall, looking all through the troubled, tangled, messed up men, traveling the hard way, dressed the hard way, hitting the long, old, lonesome go, rougher than a cob, wilder than a woodchuck, hotter than a depot stove, madder than $900, arguing worse than a tree full of crows, messed up, mixed up, screwed up people, a crazy boxcar on a wild track, headed 60 miles an hour in a big cloud of poison dust, due straight to nowhere. Who's all of these crazy men down here, howling out at each other like hyenas? Are these men? Who am I? How come them here? How the hell come me here? What am I supposed to do here? My ear flat against a tin roof, soaked up some music and singing coming from down inside the car. Can I remember? Remember back to where I was this morning, St. Paul? Yeah, the morning before Bismarck, North Dakota, and the morning before that, Miles City, Montana. Week ago, I was a piano player in Seattle. Who's this kid? Where is he from, and where's he headed for? Will he be me when he grows up? Was I like him when I was just his size? Let me remember. Let me go back. Let me get up and walk back down the road I come, this old hard rambling and hard graveling, this old chuckle-up traveling.
I've been a-having some hard traveling, I thought you knowed. I've been a-having some hard traveling way down the road. I've been a-having some hard traveling, hard rambling, hard gambling. I've been a-having some hard traveling, Lord. I've been riding them fast rattlers, I thought you knowed. I've been riding them flat wheelers way down the road. I've been riding them blind passengers, dead enders, kicking up cinders. I've been hitting some hard traveling, Lord. I've been hitting some hard rock mining, I thought you knowed. I've been leaning on a pressure drill way down the road. Irons flying, air hose sucking, 6 feet of mud and a shore been a mucking. I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. I've been hitting some hard harvesting, I thought you knowed. North Dakota to Kansas City, way down the road. Cutting that wheat, stacking that hay, trying to make about a dollar a day. And I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. I've been working at Pittsburgh Steel, I thought you knowed. I've been dumping that red hot slag way down the road. I've been blasting, I've been firing, I've been pouring red hot iron. And I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. I've been laying in a hard rock jail, I thought you knowed it. I've been laying out 90 days way down the road. Damned old judge, he said to me, it's 90 days for vagrancy. And I've been having some hard traveling, Lord. I've been walking that Lincoln Highway, I thought you knowed. I've been hitting that 66 way down the road. Heavy load and a worried mind, looking for a woman that's hard to find. And I've been hitting some hard traveling, Lord. I've been walking that Lincoln Highway, I thought you knowed. I've been hitting that 66 way down the road. A heavy load and a worried mind, looking for a woman that's hard to find. And I've been hitting some hard traveling, Lord.
Woody Guthrie in Cisco, Houston, hard traveling old buddies. Woody Guthrie's hard traveling. Well, the most famous entertainer of his day in vaudeville, this is after the turn of the century when vaudeville was booming, was Nat Wills. Nat Wills billed himself as the Happy Hobo. And I want you to listen to, we're going to listen to an old 1912 Edison Cylinder recording of Nat Wills and the Traveling Man. First, I'll give you a little bit of one of my favorite writers, Thomas Wolfe. Thomas Wolfe said he always wanted to be a poet. Well, his publisher thought he was a poet, so he went on his own hook, went and gathered up pieces of writing from Thomas Wolfe's novels and published them as one book of poetry called Face of a Nation. And this is a piece from that. It is the place of autumnal moons hung low and orange at the frosty edges of the pines. It is the place of frost and silence, of the dry shocks, clean dry shocks, of the opulence of enormous pumpkins that yellow and hard, that yellow on hard clotted earth. It is the place of the stir and feathery stumble of the hens upon their roost, the frosty broken barking of the dogs, the great barn shapes and solid shadows and the running sweep of the moon-whitened countryside. The wailing whistle of the fast express. It is the place of flares and steamings on the tracks and the swing and bob and tottering dance of lanterns in the yards. It is the place of dings and knellings and the sudden glare of mighty engines over sleeping faces in the night. It is the place of the terrific web and spread and smoldering, the distant glare of Philadelphia and the solid rumble of the sleepers. It is also the place where the Transcontinental Limited is stroking 80 miles an hour across the continent and the small dark towns whip by like bullets. And there is only the fan-like stroke of the secret, immense and lonely earth again. I have foreseen this picture many times. I will buy a passage on the fast express.
Ago, I joined the show inflation repertory. We showed in every little town and every single state. We hadn't any money, we were only out for glory. But every actor in the troupe knew how to catch a freight. When we left New York, we took a freight to go to Philly. The train pulled up at Newark and they caught us riding free. A brutal copper on the beat came in and beat me silly. Oh, I really must admit he made an awful tramp of me. When I got on another train, I had another battle. My back was nearly broken and my arms were full of kinks. The car that I was riding on was full of Texas cattle. They pulled me all around the car and sucked me for the drink. Went to sleep and when I woke, I was in Jersey City. Then I rode to Philly just in time to play the show. That night we had to move again, they hadn't any pity. And we beat the ride to Baltimore upon the B&O. From Baltimore to Washington and Washington to Yonkers. Yonkers up to Albany, from Albany to Troy. Troy, we got another freight, we rode upon the bunkers. To open at the Opera House in Alton, Illinois. From Alton to New Orleans, then to Butte, Montana. From Butte we went to Boston, there from Boston to St. Paul. St. Paul to San Francisco, then to Peru, Indiana. And from there to South Dakota, where we played in Little Falls. Little Falls to you, be damn, you mustn't think I'm swearing. You be damn to Helena and then to Bangor, Maine. Bangor, Maine to Louisville, we had to go tearing. Louisville to Galveston and Little Falls again. Little Falls to Buffalo and Selma, Alabama. Selma to Los Angeles and then to Montreal. The audience was awful drunk, I think he was a farmer. For before the play was over, he got up and left the hall. We were playing Uncle Tom and I was Uncle Thomas. Little Eva said she'd marry me and we'd elope. When she went to heaven, she fell down and broke a promise. She wouldn't talk to me at all, she said I cut the rope. Little Eva felt so bad it put her in a fever. We left her in the hospital when we were making tracks. We went to Nova Scotia, though we didn't like to leave her. But when she got well, we wired her to go to Halifax. I played Little Eva's part while she was at the doctor's. I played the part of Winston Don, my acting wasn't him. Ticket speculator stood in front of the theater. Got stuck with all his tickets and he lost 11 cents. Then they made me leading man to learn the business quickly. I had to feed a pair of dogs and lead them all around. One of them died in Halifax, but he was very sickly. But they put me on to take his place and made me play a tramp, 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 a tramp to Boston. Keith and Foster heard of me. When I sang for them one day, they engaged me right away. That's how I became the happy tramp, you see.
Nat Wills, isn't that a piece of work? Isn't that a piece of work? I guess probably the most famous of all the railroad songs back at time of vaudeville time and even down into the present would be Casey Jones. Well, Casey Jones was, he was born John Luther Casey, I guess about 1864. His whole life was railroading. He became a railroader when he was very young. And he had one big hobby. The big hobby of Casey Jones' life was bringing in the trains on time. He had a loathing of lost time, and he would break his neck. In fact, he did trying to make up lost time. He was running the Cannonball Express. It was in 1900, running the Cannonball Express. Now, that was a fast train from Chicago to New Orleans, and he was based out of Memphis, Tennessee. His fireman was a black man by the name of Sim Webb. It was there in Vaughan, Mississippi, on that run of the Cannonball Express. Let's see, April 30th, 1900 it was, that they were coming around an S-curve. Now, Casey Jones, the engineer, was on the blind side of that curve. Sim looked down the track. His fireman saw two red lanterns. It was a signal that it was trouble on the track ahead. And he yelled to Casey, "We're going to bump into something." And Casey Jones, when he finally saw the red lantern, said, "Jump, Sim, jump." And Sim jumped. And Casey Jones, with all the air on, with the bar out to throw it into reverse, he plowed in to the caboose of the rear end of a train that was trying to seesaw through a yard, and part of it was hanging out onto the main line. Well, Casey Jones was killed. It got his name, John Luther Jones, when in the rooming house where he used to room, one of the railroaders there said, "There's too many John Joneses on this railroad. Where'd you come from?" He said, "Well, I'm from Casey, Tennessee, C-A-Y-C-E, just like Edgar Casey." So from then on, it was Casey Jones. Well, that engine, by the way, was rehabilitated, and it kept jumping the track. It became what's called a hoodoo, or a jinxed engine. It killed another fireman. Finally, they decided to junk it. On the way to the junkyard, it killed yet another fireman. Well, there was a fellow who knew Casey Jones, who worked in the roundhouse, another black man by the name of Wallace Saunders. He wrote the original version of Casey Jones, which was then picked up by vaudeville teams. It was turned into a song that Casey Jones' wife absolutely loathed because it maligned him and it maligned her. I want to play Wallace Saunders' original version of Casey Jones, sung by a man who learned it right from Wallace Saunders while working on the railroad. Here's Casey Jones, done by Haywire Mack McClintock.
Telling me the other day about an original version of Casey Jones, and he sang me a verse that I hadn't quite heard, and I wish you'd sing it now, and before you sing it, tell us a little bit about it, what you know about it.
Well, I learned the song in 1909 when I was switching boxcars in Memphis for the Illinois Central, and I heard Wallace Saunders sing the song myself. He was Casey Jones' fireman. This was within 3 or 4 years of Casey's death. All the Negro railroad men knew the song. A lot of them sang it, and here is the original of Casey Jones. Casey Jones was an engineer, told his fireman to have no fear. All I want is water and coal, and my head out the window when the drivers roll. When the drivers roll, when the drivers roll, and my head out the window when the drivers roll. Through South Memphis yards on the fly, the fireman hollered, you got a white eye. And the switchman knew by the engine's moan that the man at the throttle was Casey Jones. Old Casey Jones, old Casey Jones, that the man at the throttle was Casey Jones. Well, the engine rocked and the drivers rolled, the fireman hollered, Lordy, save my soul. Casey says, I'll roll her till she leaves the rails, cause I'm way behind time with the Southern mail, with the Southern mail. Oh, that southbound mail, I'm way behind time with the southbound mail. Got within about a mile of the place, a big old headlight stared him right in the face. He told his fireman, boy, you'd better jump, cause there's two locomotives that's a-going to bump. That's a-going to bump. That's a-going to bump. There's two locomotives that's a-going to bump. You ought to have been there for to see that sight. The women stood crying, both colored and white. I was there for to tell the fact. They flagged him down, but he never looked back. No, he never looked back. No, he never looked back. They flagged him down, but he never looked back. Old Casey said just before he died, there's lots more railroads that I'd like to ride. But the good Lord whispered it is not to be, and he died at the throttle on the Y&MV. On the Y&MV. On the Y&MV. He died at the throttle on the Y&MV.
Casey Jones, Haywire Mack McClintock. As I said before, the same fella that wrote Big Rock Candy Mountain and Hallelujah, I'm a Bum. Dangerous work. Nobody knows of hundreds of railroad engineers, hundreds of brakemen that were lost during those early days of railroading. It's a dangerous and hard work. You know, the young tramps going into the yard, following the romantic, you know, the wanderlust, riding on the freight trains. You've got to be aware of that, of how dangerous the work is. That those brakemen, they're switching cars sometimes in the dead of night. And you know, sometimes those empties, you can't hear them when they're rolling toward you until suddenly they're on top of you. So he's got to be really paying attention to what he's doing. There are a lot of dangerous loads coming through those yards, toxic chemicals, explosives, Defense Department stuff. It's all dangerous. And so if you're there skylarking through the yard, you can be a distraction. You can grab his attention, and that momentary wavering of his attention could cause a terrific accident. So you stay out of the way. You lay low. You don't cause anybody any hassle. That man's got to be your friend. He's one of those people you're going to ask what train is being made up that you need to be on to get where you want to be. You understand? So you approach him. At the right time, you ask him the right questions, and then you get out of his way. And I always, like Bodie Wagner said, Bodie's always good on the train. Bodie Wagner said, you approach that brakeman, and through action or through word, you let him know right off that you are not his enemy, that you are his friend. Here's a new song come up from a fella in Sacramento, sent it to me by the name of Bob Woods, about working as a brakeman. Let's listen to 27 Boxcars.
27 boxcars feel like 800 miles when you're walking that brake test in the rain. Yeah, that engineer's in the cab. All dry and warm, and I'll bet you he's forgot my name. Well, it seemed like such a good idea a million miles ago to see the world and maybe earn some pay. But now it's midnight in this railroad yard, and the rain is pouring down, and I know there's got to be a better way. Looking for that last boxcar to get out with my train. I'm reading worn out numbers painted on the side. Well, it's probably down the scale track behind 800 gons, and I'll be switching out these old cars all night. And then it's 27 boxcars feel like 800 miles when you're walking that brake test in the rain. Yeah, that engineer's in the cab, he's all dry and warm, and I'll bet you that old goat's forgot my name. A big old rock to bang on this stuck angle cock, and I got a handbrake tied by old King Kong. And now these brakes ain't setting up, my ambition's almost gone, 'cause he's asking me what's taking me so long. Well, I'll tell ya, it's 27 boxcars feel like 800 miles when you're walking that brake test in the rain. Yeah, that engineer's in the cab, and he's all dry and warm, and I'll bet you that he's forgot my name. Well, I'll bet you that he's forgot my name.
I'm really happy that people who listen to this show send me music. You know, a great deal, more and more of what I play comes at me through the mail when people finally get a handle on what it is I'm interested in and what I want to put out there. And I appreciate that very, very much, that Bob Woods would send me that recording. Dangerous work, like I say. I'll talk about dangerous. I got a letter from a fellow listens to the radio station up in the Pacific Northwest, and here's that program. A fellow named Mike. He sent me a letter, and I'm going to read you part of that letter just to give you an idea of of what has gone on out there. And then we're going to listen to another thing that flew at me through the mail, a song called Hobo Train by Rube Waddell. Anybody know anything about Rube Waddell other than as a baseball player, but as a guy with a Cracker Jack garage band that sometimes sounds like you're throwing a garbage can down the stairs? I really want to know more about him. But both of these carry that hard edge of reality combined with hysteria. And I think only if you've been out there can you really sense that. But maybe you get just an impression of it through this letter from Mike and then that Hobo Train. So anyway, the guys I worked with came to my desk one day because I had to meet a famous man before he retired from the Santa Fe. I never remembered his name. He was an old-time railroad bull. I'm fairly sure that's how they referred to him. They had told me stories about him. He was a good old boy and told great stories and had killed many men, mostly during the Depression. He didn't kill many white men, just made them jump from the train. But he killed many black men, mostly shot them and threw them off, or clubbed them and threw them off. Of course, I had assumed that most of these stories they told me about this guy were about 80% BS, until one day I met him. He was in his early 60s, maybe 5'8" tall. He wore expensive clothes. He must have weighed at least 220 pounds, with very little of a belly. He was broad, especially in the shoulders. His voice was captivating, and he used it to tell excellent and funny stories about the old days. As he spoke, he kept his hands in the side pocket of his trousers. In the left pocket, I believe, he fiddled with the .32 caliber revolver. As I was introduced to him, we shook hands, and I looked him in the eye, and I was forever changed. I have only looked into one set of eyes as cold and soulless as his since then. At that instant, I knew all the stories were true. His eyes met mine, and he immediately disliked me. I knew he knew me as one we would have killed in the 30s. Afterwards, words like nigger and welfare Mexican and their accompanying concepts began to disappear from my daily being. Hobo Train.
Boxcar and a can of beans.
Kenny Hall from Fresno, California. I love saying that name over and over again every week, so it's engraved on the cortex of your brain. You remember Kenny Hall, and if you ever have a chance to have him come and play and sing for you wherever you are, that you get him there. You want to know how to get him? Well, you ask anybody in Fresno, and they'll tell you. Josh White. Josh White was a black guitarist and a singer, more of a cabaret style, not your Mississippi Delta style, more of an urban style of a blues picker. Very much part of the progressive movement, very political, worked with People's Songs with Pete Seeger and all those other folks. Had a serious hand injury that prevented him from playing the guitar for some years, where he just kind of worked at odd jobs. Finally, with the help of friends, taught himself how to play the guitar all over again. We're going to listen to one of Josh White's pieces. Here's something I want to put in your mind that I want you to hold on to. It was in the 1830s. There was a famous minstrel. Now, in those days, a minstrel was a white man in blackface. His name was Thomas Rice. And he sang a very popular song then that went, "Wheel about, turn about, do just so, and every time I wheel about, I jump Jim Crow." That's where the phrase Jim Crow comes from. That's where it originates. And over the years, it came to summarize all the rules of enforced segregation, which still exist. Jim Crow still is not dead yet. Langston Hughes, the great black poet, said, "I would like to say that the people who have Jim Crowed me have a white heart." Let's listen to Josh White and Jim Crow Train.
Stop the trains, I can ride this train. Stop Jim Crow so I can ride this train. Stop Jim Crow so I can ride this train. Black and white folks riding side by side. Hear that train whistle blow. Can't you hear that train whistle blow? Can't you hear that train whistle blow? Oh Lord, this train is Jim Crow.
Jim Crow Train, Josh White. He was a great singer and a fine guitarist, and I sure wish that people knew more about or played more of Josh White's music. The Wabash Cannonball. Now, I've played the Wabash Cannonball with me singing it before on Loafer's Glory. I want to play the original version of that, the original recorded version of that. Of course, like I've always said, that poem goes back before the turn of the centuries, the last of the moniker songs, the moniker, the alias that a hobo uses on account of a lot of them were wanted by the law, how the young jock or the young Prussian around the fire, the campfire, would sing a song that had the name in it, the moniker of every hobo that was either around that fire or had passed away since they had all gathered together. This was a song that when I recorded it, I was told by a lawyer that I had to pay royalty money on it to Acuff Rose Publishing, and I defied them and proved that through the Library of Congress that song existed before there was a copyright law. In effect, told them to go to hell, you're trying to steal the people's property, and I am stealing it back. Now, we're going to listen to the original version, Wabash Cannonball, original recorded version. I'd like to give you a poem first that I discovered by Kay Boyle. Hear how it goes, the wheels of it traveling fast on the rails, the boxcars, the gondolas running drunk through the night. Hear the long high wail as it flashes through stations unlit, past signals ungiven, running wild through a country, a time when sleepers rouse in their beds and listen and cannot sleep again. Hear it passing in no direction, to no destination, carrying people caught on the boxcars, trapped on the coupled chert cars. Hear the rattle of gravel as it rides, whistling through the day and the night. Not the old or the young on it, nor people with any difference in their color or shape, not girls or men, Negroes or white, but people with this in common. People that no one had use for, had nothing to give to, no place to offer. But the cars of a freight train careening through Paint Rock, through Memphis, through town after town, without halting.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore, from the queen of flowing mountains to the South Bell by the shore. She's mighty tall and handsome and known quite well by all. She's the combination on the Wabash Cannonball. She came down from Birmingham one cold December day. As she rolled into the station, you could hear all the people say, there's a girl from Tennessee, she's long and she's tall. She came down from Birmingham on the Wabash Cannonball. Our eastern states are dandy, so people always say, from New York to St. Louis and Chicago by the way, from the hills of Minnesota where the rippling waters fall, no changes can be taken on that Wabash Cannonball. Here's to Daddy Claxton, may his name forever stand and always be remembered round the courts of Alabama. His earthly race is over, curtains round him fall. We'll carry him home to victory on the Wabash Cannonball. Listen to the jingle, as she glides along the woodland, through the hills and by the shore. Hear the mighty rush of the engineer, that lonesome hobo's call. Hear traveling through the jungles on the Wabash Cannonball.
Wabash Cannonball, Roy Acuff. One of Roy Acuff's signature songs, by the way, was the Freight Train Blues. I first learned that or heard that song by a fellow working in the old Havana Club on 2nd South and West Temple in Salt Lake City when I was too young to get into the bars, but I got in anyway. And this fellow would take time out from his work to sing. He was what a friend of mine here in town calls a hydroceramic technician. I want to play an earlier version of that song, though. It was a field recording. Frank and Ann Warner were great collectors of folk song. The Frank and Ann Warner collection has finally been reissued as CDs. It existed as, 78s for years and years and years. I want to play you their 1941 recording of the original Freight Train Blues, sung by Richard Hamilton.
Freight Train Blues. I was born way down in Dixie in the boomer shack, just a little shanty by the railroad track. Screaming of the drivers was my lullaby, and the freight train whistle taught me how to cry. I've got those freight train blues. Lonely, lonely, lonely. Got them in the bottom of my rambling shoes. Oh, and when the whistle blows, I gotta go. Lonely, 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 got to spray train blue. Screaming of a steamboat never stirs my soul. Roaring of an airplane drives me cold. Only thing that makes me want to navigate is a wildcat whistle on the southbound freight. I've got those freight train blues. Lonely, lonely, lonely. Got them in the bottom of my rambling shoes. Oh, when the whistle blows, I gotta go. Lonely, 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 got to spray train blue. My daddy was a brakeman, and my mammy dear. She was the only daughter of an engineer. Sweetie was a flapper, and that's no joke. Don't see how in the world she keeps a good man broke. I've got the freight train blue. Lonely, lonely, lonely. Got them in the bottom of my rambling shoes. Oh, and when the whistle blows, I gotta go. Oh, I guess I'll never have those freight train blues.
Richard Hamilton, the Freight Train Blues, one of those field recordings that I love to play. Jay Gould now, he was a railroad magnate. He was also one of those robber barons, as they called him. Jay Gould is the one who said, I can hire one half of the working class to shoot the other half of the working class. Well, here's a story they used to tell about Jay Gould when he was riding on the SP. The SP was a competitor of his, and he was trying to either figure out a way to buy it or drive it out of business. Well, he was traveling through the West, and the train was scheduled to go through Langtree, Texas. Now, Langtree, Texas, you may recall, was the home of Judge Roy Bean, who characterized himself as the law west of the Pecos. Roy Bean always wanted to meet Jay Gould, and when he heard the train was coming through from his telegrapher there in the railroad office, he decided that he was going to have Jay Gould stop and pass the time. So he had the bar cleaned up. He had all the trash burned. He ordered champagne in from San Antonio. And then the telegrapher informed him that the train was not going to stop in Langtree, Texas. Well, here come the train. It's roaring through town. There's Judge Roy Bean down there with a big red bandana, and he starts to wave it. Well, the engineer sees that as a signal that there's trouble on the track ahead. He throws on all the air. The train screeches to a halt. Everybody gets jammed up in the cars. They're sticking out their heads out the window. The Jay Gould's guards are poking shotguns out the window, and Judge Roy Bean walks up to the palace car, the private car, and he says, "I'm Judge Roy Bean. I am law west of the Pecos. I'd like if Mr. Gould would step down, and I would like to have him visit. I will provide him with lunch." Took him, invited the station manager and the telegrapher up to the office, up to the bar, and they sat around and they talked for quite a while, and they ate and they drank champagne. Well, then they took Jay Gould back to the train, got him onto his private car, saw it out, turned around to walk back, and the station telegrapher heard his telegraph going absolutely mad, and he started to run, ran up to the station, and he pulled this. The two telegraph messages have been preserved of exactly what he heard. The incoming message was, "Where the hell have you been? What the hell matter Gould special? Passed you 3 hours. Should have been Del Rio 2 hours ago. Hasn't reached Constop. Been calling. Why the hell don't you stay on the job? Must be ditched. May have fallen off high bridge. For God's sake, get section crew and find out. Reported New York Gould killed in wreck. Stock exchange wild. Trains piled up all over division. Answer quick." And then the answer went back. "Jay Gould been visiting good friend Judge Roy Bean and me. Been eating lady fingers and drinking champagne. Special just left." Let's listen to a friend of mine, Eric Darling. Eric Darling used to be with the Weavers, and then he was with the Rooftop Singers. He's been around a long time. Lives down in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and is still recording Eric Darling singing Jay Gould's Daughter.
On a Monday morning it began to rain. Round the corner come a gravel train. On the bumpers was a hobo John. Good old rounder, but he's dead and gone. Dead and gone, dead and gone. Good old rounder, but he's dead and gone. Mama, 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 have you heard the news? Papa got killed on the CBNQ. Shut your eyes and hold your breath. We'll all draw a pension on a papa's death. Papa's death, papa's death. We'll all draw a pension on a papa's death. Jay Gould's daughter said before she died, "Father fixed the blinds so the pumps can ride. Ride they must, let them ride the rod. Put their trust in the hands of God. Hands of God, hands of God. Put their trust in the hands of God." Was a great engineer, told his fireman never to fear. All he wanted was water and coal. Put your head out the window, see the drivers roll. Drivers roll, drivers roll. Head out the window, see the drivers roll. Jay Gould's daughter said before she died, "One more road I would like to ride. Tell me, daughter, what can that be?" She said, "The Southern Pacific and the Santa Fe. Santa Fe, Santa Fe. Southern Pacific and the Santa Fe." On a Monday morning it began to rain. Round the corner come a gravel train. On the bumpers was a hobo John. good old rounder, but he's dead and gone, dead and gone, dead and gone. Good old rounder, but he's dead and gone.
Every mile feeling I was all alone. In the places that I've seen, summer's fat and winter's lean, don't you know I wish that I could go back home. I don't know where I left it, though it's always on my mind. I ask the same old questions all the time. Is the old town still the same? Does anybody know my name? The years slip by like numbers on an endless highway sign. Standing here in the breakdown lane, don't think I'll make it today. And I wish the road was a big freight train, just a-blowing and rolling my way. I know the rain wouldn't seem so cold on top of an old boxcar. Wherever it was I was trying to go, it wouldn't seem half so far. I remember the Roper Yard Cafe and a pretty little beanery queen. She gave those jailhouse buds away to a bum she'd never seen. Well, I tipped her with a couple of rhymes on the back of a placemat there. And I've thought about her plenty of times when I couldn't bum a square. For the time we rode on a piggyback, punching the Great Divide, the blowing snow had iced the track and the train got stuck inside. The diesel fumes, they got so thick, I thought we'd all be gassed. They sanded her out just in the nick, punched her through at last. Now, I don't claim to be too proud to shag a ride on my thumb, but I'd trade this whole hitchhiking crowd for an honest old railroad bum. And if there ever comes a day when the rails have gone to rust, I'll put my jug and bindle away, just give up in disgust. Beyond these gentle eastern hills, the soft New England sky, to the highball whistles echo still where the mile-long blazers fly. Sitting here by the toll road gates, I wonder as I rest, do the heavy, clanking, lonely freights still thunder away out west? Have you seen the morning sun?
Well, I tried like hell to bring in on time. It looks like I didn't quite make it. You've been listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. Utah Phillips here. Thanks for listening. I don't know where this came from. The fire is out, the moon is down, the parting glass is past and done, and I am bound to leave this town before the rising of the sun. Though long's the way and far's the mile until I rest my soul again with those who weep and those who smile and all the ways and words of man. Oh, some there are who may not bide but wander to the journey's end, nor take a girl to be a bride, nor take a man to be a friend. And when I'm through with wandering, I'll sit by the road and weep for all the songs I did not sing and promises I did not keep.